Friends, let me just pray. Father, we again thank you for your word. And Lord, help me speak your word truthfully. And Father, help us all to listen well so that we might put your word into practice. And we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, friends, I live at Winoona. Some of you probably know that. And right next to the station, there's this fish and chip place. You can tell that I spent a lot of time there. And in this fish and chip shop, there are these iconic photos. There's pictures of Holden cars, there's pictures of Ford vehicles and so on. But there's one on the door, on top of the door, and it's that photo there. It's the building of the Rockefeller building, which was started in 1932. And there are 11, I think I counted, construction workers having smoko, having a bit of food, having a cigarette, whatever. But they're 300 metres from the ground. They are pretty confident that girder would hold them up. And, you know, when I saw that, I thought, that is a picture of trust. It's that they trust in their workmanship, but they trust in that girder. But can I say, sometimes our trust in worldly structures are less secure. Trusting God, from our point of view, doesn't always make sense, especially from the world's point of view. But folks, it's absolutely necessary if we want to have a life that is blessed. And today we look at that crowning of all Proverbs. Last week you'll remember that we looked at probably the most focused, the verse that really summarises the whole book of Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But today we look at this proverb that says so much. And I'm going to ask us to say this verse a number of times, and we're going to say it right now together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, and he will make your path straight. And so we're going to look at this phrase by phrase. Firstly, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If there was one person in your life that you would trust, who would it be? Think about it. Maybe talk to the person beside you. Who's the one person that you would trust? Hopefully it's someone close by. But I bet it would be the person that you would respect, the person that you would have confidence in. You wouldn't trust the person that lies, would you, that gossips? You wouldn't trust the person that is judgmental or unsympathetic, insensitive. You would trust someone that's the very opposite, trustworthy, reliable. You would trust someone that's dependable and honest. And do we know anyone like that? God is trustworthy, folks. God is trustworthy. And he wants us to decide to give his leadership a try. In that reading, that the second reading that Joan read to us, Hebrews 11, we have the people of faith who trusted God and his promises. Verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, he trusted God, didn't he? Big time. I mean, he built a big boat, a ship, in the middle of the desert. Can you imagine that? You'd probably think, did I hear right, Lord? By faith, in verse 11, Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear a child. She was in her 90s. Those of you who are in your 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s, can you imagine giving birth to a child again? No. That was very strong. No. I couldn't imagine being a dad at that age. And then in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And mind you, that God had already promised that through Isaac, there would be a great blessing of people, as many grains in the sand, stars in the sky. And yet, here is Abraham being told by God, sacrifice your son, mate. And he was about to, and then we know the story, don't we? Well, some of us know the story. God provided a what? A ram for the sacrifice. Why did these people, why did Abraham, why did Sarah, why did Noah trust God? Because of his reputation. Because in years gone by, God had shown to be trustworthy. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Folks, there are no shortcuts to trust God. The only way to trust God in our lives is to decide it. Throw off. In other words, you know, just like you throw off your dirty clothes and you put on your new ones. Throw off the sinful ways of your life and put on God's word. Take God at his word. And we can be pretty confident that God's ways are the solid girder that will hold us up. Folks, let me ask you, where are you in your spiritual journey? Are you growing more and more to trust the Lord Jesus? Because you know what? The more you trust God, the more you trust God. You know what I'm saying? When you trust God with something little, next time you might trust God with something a bit bigger, and so on. Many people trust in Jesus as their saviour. With all their heart. Well, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead so that we can share in that resurrection. They believe that we are children of God. But not everyone wants to trust in Jesus as their Lord with all their heart. And Jesus wants us to accept all the word of God. This morning we sang, trust and obey. How profound, straight from scripture. If we're fair dinkum in wanting to trust God, then we will obey. Solomon says to his son in the first verse of chapter 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your hearts. You see, Jesus, God wants us to accept his loving leadership for our life today. And you know the word trust, what it actually means? It means to lie face down, helpless. And when I think about that, I think about a servant who's lying on his stomach, head down, and he's ready to jump up and obey his master's command when his master speaks. A readiness to obey. Take the challenge, folks. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Start by taking little risks, maybe something that you haven't trusted God before. And Proverbs, the Bible, gives us some clues. Verse 9, honour the Lord with your wealth. And I think it's saying be generous for the sake of the gospel. In Romans 15, not to please ourselves but to build each other up. That means we need to give time for one another. Not maybe just Sundays, but we need to give time. We need to have the opportunities to serve one another. Paul also talks about don't retaliate, but to accept one another. Folks, we have to make an effort to those people who are unloving, to those people who have hurt us, to those people who are different. The more we trust God, the more we trust God. The more the Holy Spirit will grow in us. Secondly, lean not on your own understanding. I love these words by Dwight Moody, a famous preacher. He said, listen to these words. He said, trust in yourself and you are doomed for disappointment. Trust in your friends and they will die and leave you. Trust in money and you may have it taken away from you. Trust in your reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God and you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. I don't think Solomon is saying throw your brains away. I don't think he's saying just become a robot and just ignore common sense. We need to be wary of how we react. We need to be wary even of our own feelings, our emotions. We know we mess up from time to time, don't we? I'm glad I'm seeing a lot of nods there, eh? We don't always know what's best, even though we think we do. And that's why Solomon says in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. You see, we think we know it all, but we don't. Whether we like it or not, human perspective, our perspective is limited and sometimes faulty. We need the input, the decision-making of God for our everyday life. Some years ago, when I was the minister at Camden, we had our own personal men's convention. I can't remember where it was, somewhere in Dubbo. And they wanted me to speak there. And I thought, it's great to see that all these blokes coming together. But I had to be back on Sunday, and they organised a plane for me to come back. And I thought, gee, how good's that, you know? Now I go flying around the place for a speaking engagement. But I remember, so it was only a four-seater plane, and I was sitting in the front with the pilot. But I remember as we were coming out of Katoomba, it started getting very foggy, and it started becoming, it was like soup. It was as if someone had put a sheet over the windscreen. And I just looked at the pilot, and I said to him, mate, are we good? And he went on to tell me, he said, this is the exact time when you need to trust in your instruments. He said, you can't trust in your own experience, you can't trust in your gut instinct, you can't trust in your feelings, your intuition, or whatever you want to call it. He said, you won't know whether you're flying that way or flying that way or flying that way. You need the instruments. And I think in some ways that's what Proverbs is saying. Lean not on your own understanding. No matter how smart or experienced you are, human judgment is always limited. Human judgment can sometimes be wrong. Friends, we need a deeper insight. We need a bigger picture. We need a broader perspective than human wisdom can offer. And we find this godly wisdom, obviously, through the Word of God, don't we? The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word. And folks, if you've got friends and family who do not know the Lord Jesus, if there's any way they can hear the word of God, then that's fantastic. I remember when I first became a Christian and I was brought up a strong Catholic, my parents were very superstitious. They didn't know what to make of my wife, Debbie. And they were thinking, oh, Debbie, what have you done to our son? And I remember saying to Mum, why don't we just read the Bible together? I was very naive. I didn't know much. What I was learning at Bible study on Monday, I was doing with them on Tuesday. But basically, we were just reading through John's Gospel. We were doing a chapter, maybe a couple of chapters, and then all this stuff started to come out, you know, like, what about Mary? She's not there. And I said, well, I don't know. We're just reading the gospel. What about this business about going into the confessional box? Oh, I don't know, Dad. And then he would say to me, I never trusted the priest anyway in the first place. Why did you send me? But anyway, that's another story. But folks, what I want to say is that just hearing the word of God, they became Christians. They still are Christians. My whole family became Christians just through hearing the word of God. And that wasn't through my explanation, because I was so faulty in what I understood to be right. There are some things God asks us that seem to be opposite to the ways of the world, folks. If you remember last week, we talked about Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. And sometimes we can have two voices in our head. Remember that? And Lady Wisdom will say, be a servant. Lady Folly will say, be a boss and boss around the servants. Lady Wisdom will say, be other person-centered. Lady Folly will say, well, Do what's best for you. You're the most important person in the world. Lady Wisdom will say, forgive and be reconciled where you can. Lady Folly will say, seek revenge. Get compensation. Lady Wisdom will say, be generous with your time and your money. Lady Folly will say, keep a nest egg. You earn it. Folks, life will go a lot smoother when we listen to Lady Wisdom, when we trust the Word of God. It doesn't always make sense, can I say that? And you know that. And it may even go against the world's values. There was a man walking along a narrow path, and he wasn't paying attention, and he slipped off the cliff's edge. And he was grabbing on to one of the branches on the side of the cliff. And he realised that he couldn't save himself, and he didn't look down because he was so nervous of heights. And he started to yell out, is anybody up there? No voice, no return. He shouted again, is there anybody up there? Help! And then he heard this booming voice saying, I'm up here. Who's that? I am the Lord. Oh, Lord, thank you so much. Please save me. You know, and did the bargaining thing. I'll come to church every week. No. Please save me. Get me out of here. And the Lord said, okay, let go. Lord, you don't understand. I want to be saved. And the Lord answered, let go. And after a pregnant pause, the man shouted out, is there anybody else up there? He didn't realise he was 4 foot from the ground. You see, we want God to save us. We want God to heal us. We want God to repair our relationships, fix our problems. But we want to hold on to our own understanding. And I think what Proverbs is saying is saying, let go. Let go and let God. You can't lean on your own understanding if you want spiritual blessing. And in the next phrase there, he spells it out a bit more. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Or in all of your ways, submit to him. And to submit is to come under someone's leadership. To submit is to recognize their power, their supremacy, and that they want the best for you. Folks, don't let pride say, I don't need God's wisdom in this particular part of my life. It only takes a little hole to sink a ship. Most of you would know the story of the Titanic, the unsinkable ship that sank. And it hit an iceberg. And compared to the size of the ship, which was massive, they were only little gashes in the hull compared to the size. And we all know what happened there. Those gashes sunk the ship. And I want to say, do we need to ask ourselves, are there areas in our life that we think that we're unsinkable? Are there areas in our life where we've put these signs up? No trespassers, keep out. Lord, keep out of this part of my life. Keep out of this, you know, the career part of my life, because I'm forced to maybe be dishonest from time to time. Keep out of my sex life, Lord. Because time to time, you know, a bit on the side, you know, a bit of adultery. Lord, you know, don't worry about my friends. They may cause me to lead me astray, but you know, I don't want to hear your word concerning my friends or my leisure activities. That may be questionable. You know, we can sometimes be saying, Lord, I know what the Bible says. I know you're prompting me. But the answer is no. I don't want your advice in this particular part of my life. But folks, we need to be aware that one small area in our life can sink us. I remember some years ago, Tiger Woods, who was at the peak of his profession as a golfer, and he was on track to win the most slams or whatever they call them in golf. But he committed adultery, and it was just interesting just to see how his career just plummeted. The same could be said for Ben Cousins, who got involved in drugs, and the same thing at the peak of his career, he started going downhill. And folks, I want to say not just at Camden, but even at Beverly Hills, there were a couple of men who had difficulties with pornography, and when they weren't disciplined in throwing off that part of their life, you know, it affected their marriage relationships. It affected a lot of aspects of their life. And I think we need to ask ourselves, are there any areas in our life where Jesus is not Lord? Are there areas in our life where Jesus is taboo? Are there areas in our life where we have said that we've put the signs up, keep out, Jesus? No trespassing. But have a look at those words. In all of your ways, submit to him. All of your ways. Folks, I want to say this. If you're 95% devoted to the Lord, guess what? You're 5% short. If you're 95% devoted to the Lord, you're 5% short. Jesus is Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. Many people seem determined to learn everything the hard way. But folks, we can save ourselves a boatload of trouble and pain and heartache if we wise up and acknowledge, submit to the Lord in every aspect of our lives. Yeah. I'm sure Neville could say the same thing from experience. Those people who have committed their lives under the Lordship of Christ, they are the ones generally that are more contented, that are more joyful in their lives. They are the ones who have a greater purpose. Trust Jesus to be Lord of your whole life, in your career, in your sexuality, in your finances, with your friends, your hobbies, your attitudes. And then there's a promise. And he will make your path straight. It doesn't mean that God will lead us to be healthy, wealthy, and happy. It doesn't mean that he will make our lives comfortable, popular, and thin. I wish. It doesn't mean that God will give us all the material goods and satisfy our desires. But it does mean God will give us a greater blessing and direction, how we use our gifts, how we relate with others. He will give us a greater purpose with our families, within the body of Christ, a greater fulfillment and contentment and understanding that we have God's very best. Friends, if we do those things, our lives will be on the right track. We will never be shortchanged. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree here, but hands up those people who are in their 20s. I knew I was barking. In their 30s. Okay. Well, quite possibly a quarter of your life is over. What about those people in their 40s? There's a couple. I think someone's got a problem with lying over there. In your 40s, well, possibly half your life is over. What about those people in their 50s and 60s? Possibly three quarters of our life is over. What about those who are in their 70s, 80s and beyond? Be thankful. Be thankful. But folks, what I want to say is make the most of your life, won't you? We're only a short time here, aren't we? Really? I mean, as I think about it, I still remember my 21st. I still remember when we had our first child. I still remember my first day in ministry. And now here I am retired. And I think, where is the time gone? Make the most of your life. Life's short. But make it count for Jesus. Make it count for Jesus. Take that step of faith today. Trust God a little bit more than what you've done before. Be devoted to Jesus 100%, because we know Jesus has been and is devoted 100% to us. Amen. Let's read these important words together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Friends, what I'd like to do now is that we pray. And I've got a prayer that I've called the Lordship Prayer. And it's a prayer that's really a commitment prayer, and it's a prayer that we have picked up in front of those that passage from Proverbs chapter 3. So why don't we say these words with conviction, if you want to say those words. It is really a prayer to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my whole life. So join me if you want to say this prayer together. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge my need of you and accept you as my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Deliverer and my Lord. I invite you now, Jesus, to be the Lord of my whole life, Lord of my mind, my attitudes and my mental health, Lord of my body and my physical health, Lord of my spirit and all my worship, Lord of my family and all my relationships, Lord of my sexuality and its expression, Lord of my work and my service to you, Lord of my material goods and needs, Lord of all my finances, Lord of my emotions and all my reactions, Lord of my will and all my decisions, Lord of the manner and time of my death. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed for me so that I might be freely forgiven. I ask you now to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I will have your understanding, your love, your gifts, and your blessings. Amen.